It's always fun when we can check in with Browns alumni on this show. And joining us today from Green Bay, Wisconsin, is former Browns defensive end Carl Hairston. Carl, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Glad to be on.
It's great to have you and great to hear your voice. You and I go back when I started covering the NFL. You were with the Philadelphia Eagles, and you basically broke in me as a young NFL writer who needed a lot of guidance, and you were the you were the man of wisdom in that locker room, Carl.
Well, I tried to be.
Yes, you definitely were. And your career, of course, took you from Philadelphia. You were there from 76 to 83, and then to the Browns, six seasons, 84 to 89. I want to start first. Well, let's tell people what you're doing now. You've coached in the NFL, and you've coached at different places. Your resume, and you're living in Green Bay because that was one of your coaching stops, but you've worked as a scout or a coach with the Cardinals, the Kansas City Chiefs, the St. Louis Rams, and we mentioned the Packers, and lately with the United Football League, three teams there going back to the Florida Tuskers in 09, Omaha Nighthawks, and currently with the Sacramento Mountain Lions working with Dennis Green. So the coaching bug, and I guess I always saw this in you, Carl, when we were together in Philadelphia, you played the end position and you had the physical gifts to play that as well and have the long career you had, but this was a thinking game for you.
Yeah, it was, I didn't know that, till I first came to the league, and I had to learn that. And, of course, most of my guidance, believe it or not, came from Claude Humphrey when he came to Philadelphia. So it became a thinking game, and, I took pride in that.
And when you work with young people who are, again, trying to be you, trying to have those long-lasting careers in the NFL or work their way up from a United Football League to get noticed by the NFL, what are some of the qualities? What are some of the aspects of this game that you emphasize and the keys that they need to pick up if they have the talent, to take them somewhere, but that knowledge base? What are some of those lessons?
Yeah, I think the first thing kids got to understand is you have to be patient because you're coming from college into a league that's faster, guys are stronger, and they're very well coached. You just got to be patient because your talents are not going to show that first year. It's just not. You might have some cases where it will show, but more times than one, a kid try to go out there and do too much, and he just got to let it flow and relax. The second thing I tell kids is you have to be coachable because no coach wants to coach an undisciplined football player. And that's the second thing I try to get across, and I still see that today. And, kids come out of college thinking they know it all, but once you get in this league, you don't. You don't know anything because it's a different league. And the third thing I tell them is to keep your nose clean because when you come into this business, which it is, the National Football League or any league out of college, it's a business, and people don't want to be babysitting you outside the stadium. So you got to become a good citizen in the community and just keep your nose clean because if you don't, then your career's not going to last long.
You played for Marty Schottenheimer in Cleveland, also coached for him in the NFL when he was in Kansas City and worked for him. You were, as I said, you did scouting there. The influence that Marty had, and you coached with and worked for as a coach, Dick Vermeil, played for Dick Vermeil as well. But those two heavyweights, Vermeil, Schottenheimer, what kinds of influences were they on you?
Well, they talk, especially going back to Marty. I started coaching with him in '95. Well, going back further than that, Marty, when I was drafted by the Eagles in '76, Marty wanted to draft me with the Giants when he was with the Giants. But the Eagles got to me first. So when I came up to be traded from Eagles, that was, matter of fact, I just had surgery. And Marty traded for me. I think we got a ninth-round pick and ended up playing six more years. So I think that the big influence that Marty had on me was, how to treat players and get the best out of players. And the same thing with Coach Vermeil is, it's a very disciplined game. And, you got to be disciplined on and off the field. And to be tough, of course, but to play smart and know that the game is just a game, but you got to take one play at a time, and you got, that's how you can be successful.
Yeah, and that and those were kind of the fundamental lessons, very straightforward stuff. And and I know with Dick, well, both men really emotional guys too, right? They tapped into that. They had that unique ability to get to make their players true believers in their programs.
Yeah, they were, both guys were very emotional in their own way. Marty was emotional, but Coach Emil cried, and people got on him about that. But and to this day, you know, he'll still cry when I talk to him. You know, I'm doing the NFLPA All-Star game out in Los Angeles next week, and he's the head coach, and I'm coaching D-line. So I'm expecting him to cry once I step off the plane. So, you know, that's just coaching. You know, I love him for that. And,
sure.
And to this day, you know, me and himself have a great working and phone relationship because we talk all the time. We talk football. And Marty, of course, he coached in the United Football League with the Virginia team, and, of course, he won the championship. So, you know, those guys are still around, and I think they're very important for either game. You know, you got to have those guys back.
Former Browns and NFL defensive lineman Carl Harrison joining us in our alumni spotlight here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So I want to take you back to those Browns days, to those seasons. And really, it was obviously exciting stuff. This team was a competitor, a contender, pretty regularly through that time. And you had Bernie Kosar at quarterback. It was just a real special time in this team's history. What are some of your best memories?
Well, I think that my best memories are when we played the Cincinnati Bengals in Cleveland, and Clay Matthews intercepted the ball and went down the sideline. Then he decided to pitch it with me. For what reason, I have no idea. And of course, those three championship games that we had against Denver, those were memorable. And matter of fact, a friend of mine called me yesterday, and he said, you know, we were talking about yesterday, this is the 25th anniversary of the drive. I'm like, oh, you had to bring that up. You know, but, you know, just to play on a team that was so competitive week in and week out, you know, it goes to show you what kind of team we had. And I go back and I look at the guys that I played with, Hanford Dixon, of course you mentioned Bernie, and Kevin Mack, Ernest Biner on offense, and Clay Matthews and all those guys on defense. We were a very good football team. And, you know, we just had guys on the team that wanted to win and played very disciplined and fundamental football, and that's how we won games.
You know, I look at your career, and we're talking a body of work here of, what, 30-odd years of both playing and coaching. But to last and survive as long as you did as a player, Carl, is remarkable. And, you know, maybe in a different era, I know it would be very difficult for a guy to come into the league. And you were, a seventh-round pick in 76 with Philadelphia, came out of a little school, Maryland Eastern Shore. And to thrive as long as you did, I mean, it says a lot about the ability you had. But when I think about this, by the time you got to Cleveland, I mean, I saw you as this veteran sort of aging guy, and I kind of thought of you as I said, this veteran in Philadelphia, but you still had more game in front of you, and you were still bringing it in your days with the Browns. Was that like a revitalized feeling or just a continuation? I mean, what kind of player did you see yourself as once you got to Cleveland after all your years in Philly?
Well, it's a combination of both. You know, when I was traded from Philadelphia to Cleveland, I just had knee surgery, so I came to Cleveland injured. You know,
right.
And Bill Tessendorf, who was a trainer there at that time, you know, he did the rehab, and you know, when I had the surgery, they told me out of Philadelphia I might not be able to play anymore, and I'm like, okay, you know, so yeah. I'm like, no, you can't tell me that. So Marty traded for me, and I rehabbed in Cleveland, and I ended up playing that year. You know, one thing you can't do to me, you can't tell me I can't do anything, because I'm going to try my best to finish it and do it, you know, and I end up playing six more years. And each year my knee got stronger and stronger, and I just started playing more and more and more and more and more. So the biggest part for me was getting my legs back under me, because I know I had a desire and how to play the game. I just had to get my body back under me. And Marty and the Cleveland Browns and Art Modell gave me an opportunity for that, and I really appreciate that they gave me that opportunity.
You know, when we look at your coaching resume as well, you being part of that Rams team that won a Super Bowl, you had some outstanding defensive linemen playing for you, guys like Kevin Carter, Grant Wistrom. They were double-digit sackers in 2000 under your guidance. You know, this was overall a team that had like 57 sacks, which tied for the league lead. I mean, we know about Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and all the offensive weapons that Rams team had under Dick Vermeil, and Mike Martz was there as the offensive coordinator. But your defense was a real terror for quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, and people, you know, they this way never about the offense, but we were very good on defense in every position. You know, our defensive front, you know, probably right now could probably match any front in football. You know, they were competitive, and we had just drafted Grant Wistrom, shoot a six-round draft pick out of Nebraska. So DeMarco Farr, we had him, and, you know, Ray Agnew was my starter. So we had a great defensive line, and our linebackers were very good. And if you look at it now, shoot, London Fletcher's still playing.
Right.
You know, so that's how competitive that team was, and something that London's still playing. And, you know, we took it upon ourselves. You know, when we went on the field, we wanted to give our ball back to the offense. We wanted to create a lot of three and outs. So that equated to a lot of sacks. And of course, people understand we were in that, you know, during that year, we were number three in the league in defense.
Right.
So, you know, we were talented, and the offense was talented. So we were very well-rounded on both, well, all phases of the game we were.
And the Chiefs, you went to them afterward. Of course, Dick Vermeil retired from the Rams, comes back to be the head coach of the Chiefs. You end up with him there on that staff. And Jared Allen in 2004, 2005, with you working with him, gets 20 sacks. And really, over the course of that time, puts himself on the map as one of the premier pass rushers in the NFL.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Jared. I saw a lot of myself in Jared Allen, and I saw a lot of Grant Wistrom and Jared Allen because he had a high motor and he was very determined. So that part he has, you know, you had to teach him the fundamental things about how to rush the pass and things like that. But, you know, it's for me, it's so exciting to see where he is today because he had a lot of problems off the field, but he straightened himself out. And, you know, he's an example of somebody to say that he can't do it and he ended up doing it. You know, so you know, he's very competitive, and, you know, I was hoping that he broke the sack record, but he missed it. But, you know, guys like that, you know, they're hard to find because they're in the game to win, and that's what he does. You know, he works, he does it every play.
And, Carl, you're in, of course, in Green Bay, surrounded by what really an incredible story this Green Bay Packer season as they embark on what could very well be back-to-back Super Bowls. But also tremendous sadness there. The offensive coordinator for the Packers, Joe Philbin, his young son, Michael, 21 years old, was found dead in a Wisconsin river. Funeral was today. And you know, you're not, we know as parents, we're not supposed to bury our children. It's the unfathomable thought for anybody. And for Joe, I can't imagine having coached in this league, having played in this league, and Packer players, I know we're all part of this, very supportive of Joe, Aaron Rodgers and others on that football team. Carl, how does this possibly impact a team, you think, psychologically when you're heading into this postseason? What do you think? I know I'm asking you to play psychologist, but you've been in this game, you've been part of this game. I know you've seen the tragedies that can happen, and because it's life and affect people. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, when that happened, you know, the first person I thought of was is Donnie Rodgers. You know, when we played together in Cleveland when he passed away, and we had to get ourselves together because it was very emotional. You know, and I think the same thing is going to happen for the Packer team. You know, that they're going to support Joe and the community will, and so will I. And that team is still going to play great football. And they're going to play for Joe, and they're going to play for Joe's family, you know, because this is so.
Well, great stuff, Carl. Again, thank you, and we will talk to you down the line.
You bet, guys. Take care.
All right. That is Carl Hairston, former Browns defensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.